Okay, good evening, everyone. We are ready to begin. There is some food in the back. Please feel free to take. Don't hesitate. I thank everyone for coming. We have a lot of new faces this year. We'll push college to give you off more so you can keep on coming. Hopefully you enjoy. And I thank our anonymous sponsor, who's not here right now, a close friend of the Clares, who sponsored in honor of Ephraim Clares Bar Mitzvah. This is coming Shabbos, and what a great gift for a simcha. People get flowers and candy, chocolate, scotch, all the different things for the simcha. So we could continue to do that, but to give Torah in honor of the Bar Mitzvah, I thought it was very cool. So we thank them for our sponsorship. Tonight, we're going to enter the world of Nesivas Shalom. The Nesivas Shalom, it's interesting because most new Svarim in Chassidus, the Nesivas Shalom, as we'll talk about in a few minutes, was published in 1982, which is a year after he became the Rebbe. And it became a classic, almost on level with the classics from hundreds of years ago, the Kedushas Levi, the Noam Elimelech. And it's interesting. It's interesting how that happened. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But it's become, I think, at least for me when I was in yeshiva, that anyone's first foray into Chassidus was the Nesivas Shalom, was the Slonimer. Rabbi Yashiv Zecher Tzadik Livracha said that Nesivas Shalom today is the Mesilas Yesharim of our generation. Wow. Mesilas Yesharim was written by Arisha and the Ramchal in the 1600s, maybe, 1500s. Unless I'm wrong on that. The Nesivas Shalom was written in 1982. The Rabbi Yashiv said that the Nesivas Shalom was the Mesilas Yesharim of our generation. And we'll learn a piece in a minute. I want to introduce it with a very interesting story that I heard, which is related to the piece that we'll learn tonight. There was a doctor who came to a city called Ushpitzin. I don't know where that is. Somewhere in Europe. He had learned 8 years straight by the Rebbe, Rav Baruch Frankel, the Baruch Tumim Frankel, who was a Rebbe in the late 1700s. He was the father-in-law of the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, one of the Tzanz Rav. So he was his father-in-law. Okay, he was his father-in-law. His son was the father-in-law of the Sfas Emes. So we're talking like giant, a real giant. So this doctor had learned 8 years under this Rebbe, and then went completely off the derech. Was an apikores, a kofer, a terrible. But he was an expert doctor, and he was a pharmacist. He was an expert in mixing. You know, it's different than it is today. I think mixing drugs and chemicals. And he had a tremendous koach as a healer, as a rofe. And he got sick, and with all of his chachma, he couldn't figure out the right medication, the right dosage, the right prescription for himself. And he was on the brink of death. And he called in all the chachamim of the city, and he said, I want to do tshuva. He had charata. He thought it was the end of his life. He wanted to die, which he wanted to do tshuva and live. And he said, I want you to get the Rebbe of Beresh Meushpitzin, who was the tzaddik of that time, who was a Talmud of the Chose of Lublin. I want you to go get him to come and help me do tshuva and forgive me. And all the chacham of the city, good evening, Jonathan, thought for sure he was going to say, no way, this guy is complete apikores. He only wants to do tshuva because he's going to die. Like, come on, he causes so many problems. There's no chance. He came to the Rebbe. The Rebbe thought for a second. He said, I have a pshat. The Taz, was a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, quotes a Gemara. The Gemara says that anyone who shomer Shabbos kehilchasa, someone who keeps Shabbos properly, even if they're oved avodah zarah, idol worship, like the door of Enosh, they get forgiven. Mochen lo. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara on Shabbos kuf yud ches. So the Rebbe asks, I don't understand. Did he do tshuva or did he not do tshuva? If he did tshuva, so why does he need Shabbos? But the Gemara says, if you keep do Shabbos properly, you get your sins forgiven, even avodah zarah. Well, I don't understand. Did he do tshuva or not? If he did tshuva, then he doesn't need Shabbos. And if he didn't do tshuva, then how does Shabbos help? A very strong question. So he says there's certain sins that tshuva, we know, doesn't work. If a person violates a sin that has a chi of kares or a chi of misas bezdin, tshuva itself does not work, a person needs misa, or some yisurin, some terrible punishment to get rid of the sin. So the Rebbe said, that gets suspended if a person does tshuva on Shabbos. That's what he said. So they did tshuva. The tshuva is normally not an offering of aver like avodah zarah, but tshuva on Shabbos, that combination works the same way. As I said, he said, so since this doctor wants to do tshuva on Shabbos, I'm accepting his tshuva and he come. And then the story obviously is, turns out well, and he did tshuva and he became a erlich. There's something special about Shabbos in the tshuva process, and that's what the Nesiv HaShalom is going to discuss tonight. Not the story, but the idea that Shabbos is Shabbos tshuva. It's Shabbos tshuva. What does that mean? Is Aseres Mei tshuva, is Shabbos tshuva just the Shabbos within Aseres Mei tshuva? Today was Thursday. What's unique about Shabbos tshuva? We don't call today Yom Chamishi tshuva. So what's Shabbos tshuva? Is it just because we have to sit through a drasha? So we say, if the rabbi finishes quickly, then I'm going to do tshuva? No, what's unique? What's Shabbos tshuva? So let's take a look at the Nesiv HaShalom. I photocopied it from here. A little background. Who was Nesiv HaShalom? So Nesiv HaShalom was born in 1911 in Baranovich. Baranovich, the Hasidic yeshiva, the slum yeshiva in Baranovich was unique because the city of Baranovich, I don't know if it was exactly split equally, but you had a very, very prestigious Litvish yeshiva, it was Reb Chanan Wasserman's yeshiva, Reb Chanan Wasserman, the Talmud of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and the Chafetz Chaim. That was like the go-to place, the stepping stone to the mirrors in the Slabodka, Baranovich. And you also had this great Hasidic yeshiva called Toras Chesed. The rebellion in Toras Chesed had learned by Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. So there was like a blend in that yeshiva of like regular classic Gemara with Hasidus. It wasn't the classic or the prototypical Hasidus yeshiva. So he learned there in 1911. He was born in 1911. And already in 1930, he was recording all of the shiurim, the drushas, the sichos of the Slonimer Rebbe. He was not a child. He was the prodigy. He was learning. And he was writing over all of his divrei Torah. His mother's grandfather was the brother of the first Slonimer Rebbe. So he wasn't really, didn't really have the yichus itself. He, in 1933, he goes to Eretz Yisrael. So he's 32 years old. And he marries the daughter of Rum Weinberg of Tveria, who came from a Slonim Rebbe family. The Slonim Rebbe originally was Weinberg. So he's in Eretz Yisrael in 1933. The war breaks out, and just about the entire Slonim Hasidus was wiped out. In 1954, this father-in-law of his became the Slonim Rebbe in Tveria. So from the war until 1954, there was no Rebbe of Slonim. He was a Rosh Yeshiva. He's a Rosh Yeshiva. He opened the yeshiva in 1941. He said, if the Holocaust destroyed the guf of the Jews, I'm going to restore their neshama. He opened the yeshiva, it was in Tel Aviv in 1940. 1941, opened the yeshiva in Yerushalayim. And he's a Rosh Yeshiva, and he's a Rebbe. He's not a Rebbe. Until his father-in-law passed away in 1981. So he's 70 years old when he becomes the Rebbe. He was already, he was a massive Talmud Chacham. He has Svarim on Shas. He was on the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah, which is like the council of like the Gedolim of the, but not as a Rebbe. He was a teacher. It could be that's led to his clarity in his Shiurim and when he writes, because he was a Rebbe. In 1981, he becomes the Rebbe. He publishes the Nesiv HaShalom in 1982, and he passes away in 2000. So it's interesting, and they said as a Rebbe, he was unique, that he was very much with the Hasidim. A lot of rabbis are a little bit distant. They daven alone, they sit in their room and accept people. He was very mi'urav, he was very together, he was very mixed with his Talmidim, probably because for the first 70 years of his life, well, he wasn't a Rosh Yeshiva for 70 years, but for the first, I don't know, 50, 40 years of his life, he was a regular Rosh Yeshiva and a Rebbe, and he was very involved with the Talmidim, and when he became a Rebbe at 7 years old, that didn't stop. So that's a little bit, there's more to say, obviously. A little background in the Siva Shalom. He writes as follows. Let's take a look. Shabbos Zu, Hanikres Shabbos Shuva. This Shabbos, which is called Shabbos Shuva, Yesh Lomar, we could suggest, De Merumas Bezeh Gam, it also hints to the fact, Shabbos Hi Hashoresh, V'ha'ikar Shel HaTshuva, Beilu Aseres Me'atshuva. It's not just a Shabbos of the Aseres Me'atshuva, it is the ikar, it is the source, it is the root of tshuva during these 10 days. Why should that be? V'yesh lomar habir al pi de'isa b'svarim HaKadoshim. We could explain based on something which is written in the Svarim HaKadoshim, al ha'kasav, on the pasuk, ani yeshena v'libi er. A beautiful song. It's also pasuk. Ani yeshena v'libi er, I am sleeping and my heart is awake. What does that mean? So the Medrash says, ani yeshena b'mosachol, I'm sleeping during the week, v'libi er b'shabbos kodesh, my heart is awake on Shabbos. What does that mean? V'hainu, dekmo beguf ha'adam, a person, af kishakol ha'ivarim yeshenim, or a person sleeping, because ha'lev tamid er upoel, the heart is always working, the body is sleeping, every limb in the body is asleep, is dead basically, the heart is obviously still pumping. So too, kein ha'shabbos kodesh, he tamid bebechinas v'libi er, a person can be sleeping all week, a person can be so involved in work and in life and in all the physicality of the world, and they can be sleeping, Shabbos, they're awake. Shabbos, they're awake. The makriya l'tshuva, he k'moshe kasav Rambam. And if the call to tshuva is like the Rambam famously says about shofar, uru yishenim mishenaschem, wake up sleeping ones from your slumber, v'nirdamim, and the ones who are sleeping, he kitzu mitirimaschem, wake up. So that's the remez, the hint, the call to tshuva is about the sleeping person. Ach kishadam yashen harayenu shomei klalas akriya. A person sleeping, they can't hear. V'lo ma'o mashem edavar melav. You could talk to a person who's sleeping. I have teenage children. You could talk to them all the time. They're sleeping. They don't hear a word. The gamis abaskal yotzeis meharchori b'chol yom. There's a baskal every day that goes out. The omerison says shuvu banim shovavim. Do tshuva, my children. Eino shemei, a person sleeping, they can't hear. Ki ani yeshena b'mosachol. Often, we're not thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. During the week, we're sleeping. But b'Shabbos Kodesh, yivchinas v'libi er. On Shabbos, we're awake. We're alive. Our heart, our ears, our neshama is working. Uvo shomas nishmasal shal Yehudi es habaskol. Our neshama hears the baskol. L'fizeh shorosh ha'tshuva shal aseres mei tshuva yibashabbos. So the root of the tshuva is in Shabbos, because Shabbos we're awake. Shabbos we're alert, we're spiritually attentive, our radar is on, we're able to hear the messages of tshuva on Shabbos. Well, during the week, we're not. And I think partially it's a practical idea. I don't think that's really what he's saying. Practically, we're unplugged, we're in shul, we're not as busy, we're able to focus a little bit more. But there's more than that, obviously. There's something unique about Shabbos, which is what he explains. He says something, I think it's just beautiful.
Is he saying it's more than Yom Kippur?
No. Just it's more than Wednesday of Aseres Mitzvah, and Thursday of Aseres Shuvah, and Friday of Aseres Shuvah, and Sunday of Aseres Mitzvah. And he says a beautiful pshat here. He says, take a look, I quoted the Medrash that he quotes, just to see inside. If you turn the page, he said we weren't really going to do source sheets, but it's a short Medrash, and it's kedai to look at. This is the Medrash Rabbah on the story of Cain and Hevel. The Medrash said, it's bracketed off over here. Paga bo Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon greets Cain. Cain just kills his brother. Amar lo, ma nase b'dimcha. What's going to be? Like, what was your punishment? The kid walks out of the principal's office like, what happened? What happened? Everyone's waiting. What happened? He has to like play it cool a little bit, right? Ma nasa bedimcha. What's your din? What's your punishment? What's the judgment? Amar lo, asisi tshuva. Kain says, I did tshuva. Vinis pasharti. What's vinis pasharti? What word do you see there? Pshara, which means compromise. I made a compromise with God. Hischa adam risha mitapech apana. He's hitting himself in the face. Amar kachi kocho shel tshuva. What? That's the... Tshuva? I never heard of such a thing. That's the power, the potency of tshuva. Ani lo ha'isi yodea. I didn't know. Imagine if Adam Arishna would have known. If Adam Arishna would have known. No one told me.
He would have cut a deal.
Yeah, he would have cut a deal also. Miad Amar Adam Arishon, the Amar Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos. So Adam Arishon jumps up and he sings Mizmor Mizmor. He sings Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos. Probably that tune, right? Probably the Karbach tune. Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos. So ask the Shiva Shalom. I don't understand. First of all, you make a deal with God. You can't make a deal with God. God says, let's make a deal. The Gemara says anyone who says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Vatron, he's just Mavater, he looks the other way, is no good. Is no good. So what doesn't mean he made a deal with God? Well, you can't make a deal. You can do tshuva. Is tshuva a deal with God? What's the deal? You forgive me and I. What's my end of the deal? I'll be back. So ask the Nesiva Shalom, what does it mean he compromised with God? He cut a deal with God. Second of all, what does Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos have to do with the fact that Cain did tshuva? You know what he should have sung? I don't know, pick a song. So what should he have sung? Sing Hallel? Idras Hashem B'Simcha? We could Ashrei Ha'am Shekach Halo? I don't know. Why is he singing Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos? Sing any song. Sing Hallel. Hallel is a praise of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ah! There's a God who lets us do tshuva. Amazing. Sing Hallel. Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, Ki Li Olam Chasto. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. What in the world is Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos? So the Nesiva Shalom reads something unbelievable into the Gemara, into the Pasuk, with an incredible insight. We'll skip down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom of the right column, back on that first page. The last word in the line is Achin. You can take a look later. He quotes this Medrash and he asks the question. But for purposes of time, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Hey, we're back on the first page. Back on the first page. The Nesiva Shalom is in the second paragraph on the right side. 9 lines from the bottom. Last word in the line is Achin. Achin, Habir Bezeh, the explanation of this difficult, perplexing, astonishing Medrash, is Al Pi Maimar Maran Hasaba Kedisha Milachavitz. Lechavitz. The first Rebbe of Lechavitz, was Mordechai of Lechavitz. He was the Rebbe of the first Slonim Rebbe. The Shiva Shalom quotes him all the time. I know very little about the Lechavitz, but Mordechai Yaffa Lechavitz, mid 1700s, late 1700s, was an early Rebbe. He was the Rebbe of the Shiva Shalom's first Nesiva Shalom. So he says the following idea. Cain says to God, and you have this in the Pesuk, and you can take a look at it later. Cain says to God, Hain garashti osi hayom me'al p'nei ha'adama. Right? You've divorced me. You've chased me out of here. Umi panecha esaser, and I will hide from your face. Right? Umi panecha esaser, from Hester Panim. Mipanecha esaser. I can't be hidden from you. How can I be hidden from you? V'hayisi nava nad baretz. I'm going to wander through the land. And what's the rest of that pasuk? V'haya kol motzi yargeni. Anyone who finds you is going to kill me. That's what Cain says to God. So look what he reads in this pasuk. It's unbelievable. Kayin Tan Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kayin said to God. He had a taina. He complained to God. Kevan shegarashto osi mipanecha esaser machmas chata'ai. Since you've chased me out and you're hidden from me because of my sins, nistalku mimeni kol hamadrigos v'chol ha'asagos. I've lost all my desire. I've lost all my levels of kedusha, of spirituality. I'm divorced from you, God. I'm not connected. Okay, you see, nava nad baretz. What does that mean? Nava nad baretz. Perish tarud umivulval ba'artzios. I am busy and confused and bogged down with artzios, eretz, physicality, this world. God, if I'm hidden from you, I'm devoid of spirituality, and now I'm tarud. I'm busy and confused and bogged down and weighed down with this world, which many of us, myself included, often feel. Im kain kol motza'a yahargeni. Anyone who finds you will kill me. What does it mean? not people. Kol taiva shetifka bi, any desire, any issue that greets me, sikhla v'sakar osi l'gamri min hashoresh, is going to destroy me. If I don't have God, if I'm bogged down, weighed down with physicality, and I'm not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any challenge I'm not going to be able to stand up to. I'm not. Kol motza yehargeni, I mean every person's going to get me, that's the pshat. I mean every person, anything that comes my way, anything that finds me, any taiva, any desire, any challenge is going to get me. Do you know what happened? Vayasem Hashem l'kayin os. Hashem gives kayin an os. Os who? Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos is an os. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan lo as a Shabbos HaKodesh. Shabbos Kodesh. God gave kayin Shabbos. Asher ba yashuv l'madregosav. On Shabbos you go back to your madrega. All week, you're running around, you're tarud and mevulbal, you're disconnected. I'm giving you a Shabbos to reconnect. Kevan shepagav Adam HaRishon, v'shalu ma nasa b'dimcha. So now go back to the story, the Medrash. Adam HaRishon sees Kain and he says, what happened? Perish akre chit, nora ma'od kezeh, sharakta sachicha. After this terrible sin, you killed your brother. Amar lo asisi tshuva v'nispasharti. I did tshuva, and I cut a deal. What does it mean? Klomar asisi pshara imkoni. I made a compromise with God. What's the compromise? Husa pshara. Listen to what Kain said. God, all week, I'm going to be disconnected from you. I'm not going to be by the base medrash. I'm not going to be in shul. I'm not going to be learning. I'm not with you. Think about it. The best Jew in our community, I don't want to say the best, it's not for us to judge, is how many hours a day is doing mitzvahs? Shachar Shmini Chamarav, depending where you're daven, is an hour and a half combined. Less than that on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. You learn an hour. This 8% of the day is involved in ruchnius. So Kain said to God, even though I'm going to be so disconnected from you, b'Shabbos Kodesh Chozer Hulu Madrigosav, I have Shabbos. God, give me a Shabbos. Give me one day a week. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm going to struggle. I'm going to be disconnected. I'm going to be bogged down, be weighed down. God, give me a Shabbos. The Kevin Sheshama Zos Adam Rishon. When Adam Rishon heard this, mitapech al panav, he hit himself in the face. V'amar kachi kolcha shel tshuva, v'ani lo yisdei hainu. So kol kach gova kolcha tshuva shel Shabbos Kodesh. He said, wow, it's not just your tshuva. The tshuva was that you have a Shabbos Kodesh. Afil akre echet hachamer b'yoser. You get the worst sin in the world. He killed his brother. Yachal lashuv l'sharsho v'chol zeh b'kolcha Shabbos. You could go back to your root, which is Shabbos. Niyad amar mizmor shir. It's unbelievable. It's not just a day to do tshuva. Shabbos is a day where we say, like, God, I messed up, and I'm not feeling so connected to you, or I'm not feeling as connected to you as I want to connect, but I have a Shabbos. Shabbos is like every week is a restart. Every week is that visit that's going to propel the relationship forward. And that's what Shabbos tshuva is. It reminds us of what Shabbos is. It's not just, oh, we're free, so let... No. Shabbos was the gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pshara, which said it doesn't matter where you are during the week, you have the ability on Shabbos to reconnect with me. And that's why Adam HaRishon didn't just sing Hallel, he sang Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, which was the root of his tshuva. I think it's a beautiful insight, because every week you have a chance to... Every week we have a chance to start fresh. How did Kain go to a Shabbos? He just killed his brother. How did he go to a Shabbos? Shabbos says, don't worry about what you did during the week. Don't let that bog you down. The fact that all week you have six bad days in a row, now you're Shabbos, it's you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Allow your organization to start with Shabbos. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
You immerse in Shabbos, there's nothing that can bog you down.
Yeah, it's not just because people are off from work and it's easy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it hits. Now we have to explain exactly what that is, because we're not going to have time for it tonight. There's a lot of svarim and explanations as to what exactly it is. But that's what Shabbos is. A person could get to step into Shabbos and not even think back to what happened during the week, and not what's going to be next week. A good Shabbos could propel us forward and could pick us out of whatever despair we had during the week. Well.
He's
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Didn't Adam or Risha not have that opportunity to tshuva? Wondering why.
One second. Yeah, what are you saying?
It's just interesting because, like, how does the son come to the father with a kiddush about tshuva? How does the father not know that Hashem is, like, hoping to, so, quote unquote, negotiate and compromise, like, a lesser punishment?
He's saying, how come Adam Rishon didn't figure that out?
Yeah.
So that's a good question. I think the answer is that for some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives different generations and different people certain insight, no, not more than tests, certain insight to be mechadeh. I mean, take Chassidus, right? Pro, not pro. Before the Baal Shem Tov, no one had this idea. He was smarter than everyone else. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's Derech HaLimud. So Rav Chaim was smarter than Rav Akiva Eiger, than the Chassam Sofer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some reason, I mean, think about it in the world of science also. I mean, different generations and different times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives people, for some reason, it's worthy for that generation and not, you know, worthy or ready in a previous generation.
Like, why, how much farther were they apart, though? Like,
how many generations are there from Adam to Cain?
It's a son.
That's some, right.
The classic understanding of Elul, like, what, the Baal Taibu was the first one to realize that the king is in the field, of course, before him, but he brought it to this world in a way that people got, that people understood.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's I think, a very powerful insight. It's something to think about, certainly this Shabbos, but every Shabbos. Every Shabbos we could go in and we could start the Shabbos by saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, this week I was Torud Mevulbal Ba'artzios. I was busy bogged down with Eretz, with this world. I have to. That's just the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in the world. We have to work and do what we need to do to live. But we have a Shabbos where you can just say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's time for me and you to connect. I'll end with, I've said this many times, and just say briefly, in Shalom Aleichem, we're talking to the angels who come to our house, right? I think this is our first Thursday Night Live show, actually, almost 76 and a half years ago. There's a big discussion whether you should say Tzeischem L'Shalom. Because why kick them out? Why kick them out? Angels come, Shalom Aleichem, Boachem L'Shalom, Barchuni L'Shalom, get out of here, here's the door, thanks for coming, see you later. Why do we, so some didn't say Tzeischem L'Shalom. So Shalom Zalman Arbach, others, people say it means Bit Tzeischem L'Shalom, when you leave, at some point you're leaving. I don't know when you're going, but at some point you're leaving. When you leave, you should go with peace. Don't hurt yourself on the way out. That's how some explain it. The Reb Tzadok HaKohen says that Shabbos is our yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine a chassan and kala after the chuppah are dancing from the chuppah to the yichud room, and they get to the yichud room, and the kala's mother is sitting there in the yichud room. Don't try this, Bezrat Hashem. Kala's mother is sitting there in the yichud room, right? The chassan's rebbe is sitting there in the yichud room. His best friend, his that's not the place. See you later. I love you, mom. I love you, rebbe. Get out of here. It's yichud. This is the first time. There's yichud. The chassan and kala. Shabbos is our yichud. The Kadosh Baruch Hu. We say to the angels, we don't want you here. Get back. Get out. Go away. This is time for us and the Ribbono Shalom. It's not just that we don't need the angels. That's the way the Shemi Shmuel says, Reb Tzadok says, we don't want the angels there. It's not the place. Shabbos is time for us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We've left the Torah to Mevul Baba Artios, and it's time for us to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We should be Zolcha this Shabbos and every Shabbos to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in that way, and the same way that Adam HaRishon was so inspired by the tshuva of Cain. And this deal, we should cut the same deal with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then we'll be able to sing Mizrach Shel Yom HaShabbos as well. Oh, I have 3 minutes. Let me tell you one quick story. Sorry. I have 3 minutes? Quick story in the Siva Shalom. There was a Hasidisha student learning in Panovich, which was not so uncommon. Learning in Panovich was a classic Litvish yeshiva. I think Melech Biederman learned in Panovich also. There was a Hasidisha Bachar who learned in Panovich, and his Rashi was Rav Shach. And Rav Shach, who was like the classic Litvak Rosh Yeshiva, was very bothered that this Bachar used to go almost every Shabbos to spend with the Nesiva Shalom in Yerushalayim. This Bacher was like a Lamdin who's going to be a Rosh Yeshiva, Talmud Chacham. What are you spending? Why are you gone? What are you spending your time gone? So he said, let me tell you a vort, and when you hear this Dvar Torah that Nesiva Shalom said, you'll be okay with me going. He said, what's the vort? We all know that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in Parshas Tetzaveh. Why is his name not in Parshas Tetzaveh? Because he says,
Let me out of the books.
Vatam, you should forgive them from their sin. Vimayin, if not, so ask the Nesiva Shalom. He says, everyone asks, why was Moshe being punished for that? Wasn't that a great act that he did? He put his neck on the line. He put his legacy. He was willing to throw away his name, not on the Torah. Moshe Emes, Misaraso Emes. And Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to have his name omitted from the Sefer to save Klal Yisrael. Why was he punished?
By not having his name.
Yeah. Why was he punished by not having his name in there? A lot of people ask this question. There's a little million answers to this question. So you know what Nesiva Shalom said? He said, it's not because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mecheni Nami Sifrecha. It's not because Moshe said, erase me. It's because he said, Im Ayin. What's Im Ayin? If not. He says to God, forgive them for their sins. He davened to Hashem, forgive them for their sins. But if not, what do you mean, if not? You believe in tefillah, you don't believe in tefillah. If you believe in tefillah, and you have the kavanah in the tefillah is fulfilled. Now, is that always true? I don't know. But the tefillah is fulfilled. You have to believe when you daven that this is going to come true. You have to believe it. If you don't believe it, then that's not a tefillah. Again, is it going to come true? I believe that it could come true. And I'm davening for something. If I'm getting there on Yom Kippur, and I'm davening Shlach Refuah Shleim L'Chol Yomecha and Avinu Malkeinu Kasvim Sefer Parnasa V'Chakal, all the tefillahs, if I don't believe it's going to happen, so then what's the tefillah? So Moshe Rabbeinu was punished not because he put his neck on the line and said, Mecheni Nami Sifrecha, it's because he said, Im Ayin. And if not, then erase me. What do you mean, if not? Believe in your tefillah. And Rav Shach looked at him and he said, keep on going to Nesiva Shalom. Keep on going. That's a Dvar Torah that's worth going. So Yom Kippur is coming. We're going to be davening tons and tons and tons. We should believe in the Kolach of our tefillah.
Okay.